So let's come to God's Word. Today we're going to look at a book that's not often perhaps read. It's a book that speaks. It's called Lamentations. It's written by Jeremiah, the prophet of God. Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet. And Lamentations, he is lamenting the terrible state and rebellion in which God's people are found. The city is decimated, the temple is destroyed, and people are no longer looking to God. And so we're going to look at Lamentations chapter 3, and particularly chapter 3 verse 19 to 33. I've called it Holding On to Hope. And of course we live in times when we need hope. So let's turn our Bibles there, and let me again pray as we come to read and hear and learn from this chapter in Lamentations. Our Father, again we turn our hearts to You. You know all about each one of us, wherever we are in the world today. We thank You for Your Word, Your enduring Word, that it is without error, that it is sufficient for every circumstance in our lives, and that it is practical for helping us live as You would have us to live. Grant us now then, as we open the pages of Your Word, grant us the help of Your Holy Spirit to enable us to read clearly, to learn clearly, and to apply to our lives the truths that are calculated to stir up hope within us. And to this end we ask it, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. Well, many of us can look back on life, on significant events in our time. When, for example, here in Australia, the Port Arthur massacre, you might remember there in Tasmania, what happened. Many were killed by a lone gunman. It's etched into our memories. Or perhaps it's at 9/11, the terrorist planes smashing into the Twin Towers. Sometimes it's personal moments that we remember. Events that have been tragic. The loss of a loved one. The diagnosis of cancer, or perhaps the announcement of job losses. And there are all kinds of moments in our lives, and at this moment, our entire communities across our nation, and perhaps yours elsewhere, it's that kind of moment. Years from now, we'll remind our children, our grandchildren, where we were, what it was like when COVID-19 smashed into our lives. The day when an unseen virus altered our every move, altered our way of life, where store shelves were bare, where major events that marked our lives, sport, and all kinds of things were suddenly cancelled. Where whole households are quarantined. We're sort of glued day by day at the present time to the news feed, trying to figure out what's going on, what's happening in our world. It's something that many of us will not forget. When church buildings all over the nation were empty, like this one here this morning, but people watching from their homes in online services, from their computer, from their iPhone. You may be watching alone. You may be watching with friends, or you may be watching with your family. It's an event that we will never forget. And so we want to take a look at this book of Lamentations. Now, Jeremiah did not write Lamentations because of a viral infection. Jeremiah wrote Lamentations because of foreign invasion. In other words, because God had determined to send a nation, the Babylonians, to chastise and to bring an end to the waywardness of God's people. And he did that by the destruction of the walls of Jerusalem, by the destruction of the temple. And it is this lament that we see here in chapter 3 of Lamentations. It's an important book because it marks a confusing and difficult time in the history of God's people. They were a people who continually rebelled, who ignored God's word, ignored God's prophets, particularly Jeremiah. And the Babylonians lay siege to Jerusalem. They tore down the city. They destroyed the temple. Everything was laid waste. And yet, the stubborn, disobedient people of God lived for themselves and not for God. One of the reasons that this book is so important is that it's realistic. It's truthful about real life. It's truthful about the fallen, broken world that you and I live in that brings, because of sin and rebellion, because of the brokenness of our world, it brings things like viruses and ultimately death. But it's an honest book. It faces the struggles that you and I face, even in our current days, the hardships. So let's consider what Jeremiah has to say to us. If you have your Bibles open there at Lamentations 3, just take a look at the despair. For example, we'll go back to verse 1. I am a man who's seen affliction under the rod of his wrath. He has driven and brought me into darkness without any light. Surely against me he turns his hand again and again the whole day long. Though I cry, verse 8, though I call and cry for help, he shuts out my prayer. Verse 15, he's filled me with bitterness. He's sated me with wormwood. He's made my teeth grind on gravel and made me cower in ashes. My soul is bereft of peace. Verse 18. So I say, my endurance has perished. So has my hope from the Lord. And yet, in these first number of verses, we see despair. But notice what we see from verse 19 on. To 21, we see truth, the truth of God in the midst of despair. What God is seeking to do now is to change the perspective of Jeremiah's thinking. And he's going to do that in the midst, not in the absence of, but in the midst of chaos that has brought much despair to the land. Look at verse 19. I remember my affliction. His agony of heart, his great pain and sorrow, my wandering, the bitterness, the deep disappointment, and the gall, the irritations, the annoyance of all that's happened. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. That's the despair. But notice verse 21. There's a change here. There's a new perspective coming. And it's this. But this I call to mind, therefore I have hope. So he's saying to us that in the midst of this terrible upheaval that brings him to the very dust of the earth, that he's asserting the steadfastness and the trustworthiness and the dependability of God. But this I call to mind. What does he call to mind? The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. And so in the darkest times of life, God demonstrates for us here how we can think through the hard, tough, heartbreaking, depressing, discouraging times in our lives. And let's face it, we all have them, because we live in a world that's broken, and it's a world that was never intended by God, but sin entered in. And here, the prophet is rehearsing to himself. He's speaking to himself God's truth. Why? To gain perspective. To be able to think clearly. To get his own mind and heart in the right place. Now notice, this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Now notice, nothing about his circumstances have changed. Jerusalem's still broken down. The temple's destroyed. The people are rebellious. Nothing's changed. His feelings haven't changed. Hope is not coming, you see, from his feelings or from his circumstances. They are coming from the truth of God. And there in the midst of despair, he can have hope. The trials and difficulties of our lives often truly search us and reveal to us what we truly believe. Is that not true for some of us? Maybe for many of us. When trials come, when God searches our hearts and tests our faith, we rightfully mourn what happens. But do we really believe what he's seeking to do? You might hear your heart saying to you this morning, wherever you are, it's all hopeless. I've tried this and I've tried that. But notice what Jeremiah does here. He calls to mind. He's thinking. He's reflecting. He's calling to his attention who God is and what God's like. He's steadfast in his love. His mercies never end. So he has hope. And so when we're feeling hopeless, We're to talk back to ourselves. We're to say, well, that depends what I'm hoping in. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones was a Welsh preacher. He was a doctor in Harley Street for some years before going into the ministry. He wrote a book back in the 1950s on spiritual depression. And there's a phrase there that I've always found intriguing and helpful. He is calling Christians to have a biblical psychology. Hear a lot about psychology today, but he's arguing that there's a biblical psychology. There's truth here that we are to speak to ourselves. Listen to what he says. He says, have you realized that most of your unhappiness in life is due to the fact that you're listening to yourself? Instead of talking to yourself. My people say talking to yourself is the first sign of madness. Well, Lloyd-Jones says, no, that's what you need to do. And he quotes Psalm 42. Why are you cast down, O my soul? So here's the psalmist. He's depressed. He's been crushed. And he stands up and he says, self, listen for a moment and I'll speak to you. Now notice how the psalmist does this. Psalm 42. He's analysing his hope. He's saying, why are you cast down? He's talking to himself. Notice now he challenges the negative thinking and the circumstances. And he says to himself, put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him. You see, this is not some repetitive mantra that we chant to ourselves or some positive thinking. This is God speaking God's word to our minds and to our hearts. This is not isolated in the Bible. This is what Lloyd-Jones described as biblical psychology. Here it is again in Job. Who had troubles like Job? He said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. Here's what Job says. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Or the prophet Habakkuk, who had a similar problem to Jeremiah. He says, in the midst of the despair there, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. It's in the New Testament as well. Paul, writing to the Ephesians chapter 2, he describes the condition of every person who doesn't yet know Christ. We are dead in trespasses and sins. There's no hope for us. But verse 4, but God, there again. But this, says Jeremiah, I call to mind. Paul says, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he's loved us, he has made us alive together with him. And we could go on through the New Testament. You see, this is why it's important to read our Bibles. We need to know God's word. We need to think about it clearly. We need to speak it to our minds and to our hearts. It's a deliberate thing. It's an intentional thing. We face the facts concerning Jerusalem and God's people. That's what Jeremiah was doing. The facts were true. The city was destroyed. The temple pulled down. The people disobedient. Here is truth in desperate times. He makes a deliberate act of reflection. This I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. This isn't some cold, abstract religious notion. This is something which asserts the very presence of God. Your faithfulness, he said, is great. He's thinking with his mind and his heart about the truths of God. Secondly, and we come into verse 22 to 33, hope in the midst of life. Chapter 3 contains probably one verse that many of you will know out of the whole book of Lamentations. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. We're going to sing that at the end. But you see how personal faithfulness is. Daily mercies. Now, mostly we sing that song with gratitude in our hearts to what God provides for us, how God cares for us, all that we needed, that his hand has provided. But Jeremiah is speaking these words, and he's looking full on at the smouldering destruction of Jerusalem, at the broken down temple, at the sinful lifestyle of God's people. He's not just reflecting in his heart, but he's looking to God. And you see, he has hope, despite what he sees with his eyes and what he feels in his heart and what the circumstances are. God is unchanged. And there's this great word of faithfulness. Now, if you're 50 or over, you might remember the days when you went to the shop and you bought either LPs, big records, or small records. And you had a little record player, and you had a little needle on there, and you'd put that on, and you'd play maybe your top 20 songs. But sometimes that needle would get stuck on the record. And all you would hear is, "She loves you, yay, 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 she loves you, yay, yay, yay." The Beatles, if you weren't in that era. And it repeats itself. Well, here is God coming to Jeremiah with hope in the midst of life. And he's saying, "Great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness, Lord, unto me." Jeremiah discovers, you see, doesn't he? Verse 24, that the Lord is his portion. Therefore, I will hope in him. Because I know his character. Because I know he is faithful. That he's full of mercy and grace to help us in our times of need. So hope in the midst of life means the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Secondly, the Lord is good to those who wait for him. To see that in verse 25, three times between verse 25 and 27, it speaks the Lord is good to those who wait. It is good that one should wait quietly. It is good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. We're not good at, well, I'm not good at waiting. Maybe you aren't either. In the present lockdown, some are more patient than others. But we long for normality to return. We long to get on with life, or as the financial people in the news each night, we long to get back to business as usual. We don't like the silence. We don't like waiting. In fact, some of us can't stand being with ourselves for 5 minutes. But it's a good time to pause and think. We have this word good three times in these verses. God is the Lord who is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. Psalm 31:19, "Oh, how abundant is your goodness, which you have stored up for us." The goodness of God. Thirdly, there's the promise of hope and encouragement in verses 31-32. "For the Lord will not cast off forever, but though he causes grief, he will have compassion according to his abundance." See, he reminds us that he still has a purpose and a plan for his people. He is the God who is good and who does good. He is the God we read of in Romans 8:28, "All things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose." He will not cast you off. He will not forget you. He knows exactly where you are this morning. He knows what you're facing today. And his compassion and his unfailing love will be given to you. And fourthly, the Lord does not willingly afflict or grieve us. You see that, verse 33? "For he does not willingly afflict or grieve the children of men." It's so easy, isn't it, at times to think that God is standing there with a big stick, ready to punish us. Or that he delights to punish us. No, no, no. That does not come from a heart that enjoys the presence of God. God is not standing with a big stick. He's standing full of grace and truth. You know, those of us who have had children, we know that we've had to discipline them. That's not a popular word in our 21st century, but it means correction. It means teach. It means instruct. For example, in Hebrews 12 and verse 6, for the Lord disciplines. He corrects. He instructs. He nurtures. He disciplines those he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. You're just going to let your child run loose? God acts with grace and mercy, doesn't he? And if you're a child of God, then there are times when he will correct you and discipline you. It's aimed to produce in you godliness and Christ-likeness. He is a good God who always does good. These are life-changing, heart-changing truths. And that's why we need to read the Bible, to let the truth shape our thinking, so that we're not reading everything in the wrong way. And in order for that to happen, we must apply ourselves to reading the Bible, to praying over the Bible, to see how the Bible is timeless and relevant to even our 21st century. This is what Jeremiah has been doing in this passage. He's preaching, he's speaking the word of God, truth, to himself. In the midst of chaos, he's speaking the truth. Why am I cast down? Hope in God. I'm looking at the negatives. I'm looking at my circumstances. I'm thinking of my feelings. Timeless truths are important. These are the kind of truths that you and I need today and every day. Real biblical hope springs from truth. And we're to proclaim it. We're to read it. We're to learn from it. We're to pass it on. We're to listen to ourselves. Less than we do. We listen too much to ourselves and talk too little to ourselves. That's what the psalmist was saying. Maybe today you're in personal suffering. It's got the upper hand, perhaps. You have those whispers of doubt and fear and falsehood that assault your mind. And you've spent the last week, perhaps, listening to the wrong words, allowing Satan to distort the truth. Well, let us ask God for mercy in such times like that, because he will give it. The hard circumstances of life is tough at times. We mustn't gloss over it. We mustn't think that Christians, you know, why do Christians suffer? We suffer in a broken world. We're to call to mind what God says to us. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. It never comes to an end. It's new every day. Every day you and I waken up. Every day. In our part of the world, we don't have to worry about what's on the table. We don't have to worry about anything else. Whereas other parts of the world are in great need. Remind yourself, God's mercy never ends. Waiting is never wasted time. The final word has not been spoken on this life. God is always good. And hope springs from speaking truth to our hearts. Now, maybe you're listening in this morning and you're not yet a Christian. Let me bring this to a close. Ask yourself, Maybe you need to consider Christianity. Maybe you need to read about the life of Jesus in this little book, The Essential Jesus. It's a biography of Luke, very worthwhile reading. And maybe you need to ask yourself, what do I believe? who do I believe in? And does what I believe about life answer the biggest questions in life? Who am I? Where did I come from? Who made me? And does what I believe answer the biggest fears in my life? The biggest doubts? The greatest regrets? The guilt and shame at times that I feel? Does it answer those questions? My friends, I can tell you from experience, the answer will only come to you when you realize you can't work it out on your own. And you need to cry to God. And maybe today might be the first sign of the Spirit of God taking the truth of God and revealing it to your mind and to your heart. And to lead you to trust in Christ alone, who has paid the ultimate price to set you free from shame and sin and condemnation and eternal separation. Perhaps you need to understand how the Bible helps Christians in all circumstances of life. See, this is not just pie in the sky. Some of you are going through really hard trials and troubles. The gospel is made for moments like that. It's time to remember the Word of God and the steadfast hope and the trust that we can put in Him. That we fully rely on Him alone. To a world that desperately needs to hear God's truth. Who did not spare His own Son, but He offered Him up freely for us all. Shows the depth of undeserving love, doesn't it? Here's the great act of God. Giving His one and only Son. There's the answer to this world. The Bible clearly tells us the great truths that strengthen us. His love and His goodness and His kindness are beyond question in the giving of His own Son. There's one thing, and we're almost finished. There's one thing that cannot be denied. Whoever you are today, wherever you are, God is faithful. And that there is the promise of hope in the midst of despair. The promise of hope brings, says the hymn writer, pardon for sin and peace that endures. The promise of hope brings His own dear presence to cheer and to guide. And the promise of hope brings strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. And the promise of hope brings blessings that are all mine, with 10,000 besides. Great is Your faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with You. That's why we can be confident in Christ. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? For I'm convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Let's pray. Lord God, thank You for Your word to our hearts and to our minds. May we speak them often in those times when we're confused and downcast and doubting and fearful. Thank You for Your love in Jesus Christ. Help us to believe in Him and to be transformed by his truth, and to be made more loving towards others for Jesus' sake. Amen.